Welcome back to Big Fat Five, a podcast financially supported by Big Fat Snare Drum and a member of the Drum Click Podcast Network. My name is Ben Hilsinger, and this week's guest is Darshan Doshi. Darshan is a prolific Indian drummer and composer based in Mumbai. He's recorded a million Bollywood movie soundtracks and is one of the busiest drummers in India for the studio, TV, live stage. Basically anywhere you need a drummer, Darshan's your guy. I've known him for a few years now, and his passion for both bringing Indian rhythms to the international stage and bringing more Western-style drumming slash drummers to India is very inspiring. He really is an ambassador for the drumming community, and I had a blast learning about the influences that made Darshan Darshan. Also, I must say, if I sound a little low energy during the conversation, it's because I'm on tour with my band Cannons right now, and I was sharing a hotel room with our sound engineer, so he was literally sleeping 15 feet from where I was recording this, and I was trying to be quiet. Darshan is on the other side of the world, so it was really the only time we could make it work. I'm also recording this intro backstage in a bathroom at the Varsity Theater in Minneapolis, because it's the only place that's kind of quiet. So a big shout out to Justin Yates, our sound engineer, for being the coolest roommate ever. All right, cheers. All right, so I did want to talk about the first time I became aware of you, or one of the first times, was when there was a video of you, and you went to 21 Drums Camp.
Yes.
And I think you made the video, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. I've always wanted to go, but because at that point, and we can get to how long you've been playing drums in a second, but at that point, you were already at the elite level. So for you to still go to that camp, which is not inexpensive, I'll say, what drives you to, you know, some people would go to a camp and probably have gone to camps that you're the teacher of. So what drives you to continue to seek out teachers at your level now?
So Ben, for me, it's every day is important to learn something new. You know, I've been, you know, obviously playing drums since a very, very young age. I got to know actually the Western side of drumming kind of a little late in the age because my father is an Indian drummer and percussionist, so I was born and brought up in an Indian family with you know, more of Indian music and stuff like that, and you know, I had no clue about the greats like the Buddy Rich and the Tony Williams, and you know, so much later in the I think I was around 15 or 16 when I kind of got to know all this stuff, and since then on, my language kind of completely changed towards drums. Yes, I had the Indian information, but you know, I never wanted to sound like an Indian drummer. I always wanted to play the drums the way it has to be, you know, played. So for me, it's always been a great thing about learning from every drummer I meet. And I also visited the Drum Fantasy Camp in 2015, where I got to hang with Steve Smith and Dave Weckl and Benny Greb, Mike Mangini, Jojo Mayer. And that was an amazing experience. And since then, I was like, you know, whenever I get these opportunities, I am kind of a little busier in India. You know, I do about 130, 140 concerts a year, and obviously recordings and shoots and stuff like that. But I thought that, you know, at least I should give about 1 week to 10 days to myself where I'm just going to a place where I'm just going to forget everything and just be focused on drums and trying to learn from the masters. And that's what again happened at the 21 Drums Camp. You know, some of my friends had visited here from India, and they were like, you know, it's an amazing place. You get to hang with, you know, the people like Ash Sohn and Mark Juliana. Again, he's one of my, you know, heroes. And I really wanted to just meet him. And, you know, it was not about the information as such, but it was more about just hanging with these cats and getting to know how they went about, you know, the recording and a certain album with Prince, or, you know, Ash Sohn, you know, showing the halftime shuffle and stuff like that. So for me, those are very important moments, and I really want to meet as many drummers and as many, you know, of my mentors and heroes that I've been watching them only on DVDs till now. And now I'm there chilling with them, having lunch with them, having coffee with them. So that's something special. And there was so much information and so much wisdom that you get from these camps, you know, imagining, you know, something like chilling with Robert Spott, and, you know, he's showing us, you know, the artist that he listens to and things like that. So it really inspires me as a musician. And it kind of pushes me to kind of, you know, really go, you know, that extra step in my music here in India. And that also inspired me to kind of also, you know, put this whole drum camp space here for Indian audience as well. Because, you know, we don't have that much kind of information. And obviously now, thanks to YouTube, we all have so much information. But there's one thing where you are able to physically meet, you know, 25 drummers in one group for about 3 days and hang together and just talk drums. So that is something that I really wanted to get to India. And, you know, since the last couple of years, we've been doing that here in Mumbai as well. So for me, everything that I kind of work around, and when I go to these places, I learn a lot of these things and, you know, try to get to the Indian community drummers out here.
And you mentioned how much work you've done with Bollywood movies. And I have a lot of friends that do soundtrack work, but I have no idea about that world. What differs between working on a movie score versus just, I guess you would say, the more traditional songs?
So there's a big difference. Like, obviously, the freedom is kind of limited there, because there you are kind of working out with a... there's a specific story that you're kind of working around. You know, the composer has a fixed sound that he's looking for you. Like today morning, I did a session for a movie which is going to be releasing on 3rd of December. Again, one of the biggest composers here in India, whose name is Pritam. And so they wanted very like an orchestral, a more cinematic space of, you know, low drums and some high percussion and, you know, a certain kind of rhythm which kind of fits to that specific kind of song. So there is a little limitation with Bollywood stuff, in the sense you need to kind of follow the story, you kind of need to follow the kind of the idea that the composer has while composing that album. While when we do stuff like what you heard right now with Mohini Day and Rhythm Show, and are completely free, where I kind of get to explore the drumming part of, you know, my angle, where I can, you know, do 15s and, you know, try to put Kona Coles in it and, you know, try to fuse it with some, you know, jazz chords and stuff like that. But with film music, you have to be super tight and super in the pocket. Like, it's almost like pop music. Like, you know, you can show off things here and there, but you got to be super tight with the song and make sure that you don't come between the singer, because the singer is the hero there. Like, you know, so that's what it is.
Yeah, I have a friend who does trailer music in LA, and a lot of the times, it's like every 7 weeks they do the drum day in the studio, and it's just all these huge drums, like, you know, Christopher Nolan style trailers, or all these huge drums.
Yes.
And there's like seven guys and girls in the room, and they're all playing like the most basic. If you look at their sheet music, it's just eighth notes, but when they all play them in Congress, it's just this amazing world, and it's just huge drums. It's like a kid in a candy store, you know? And you're in this huge studio, and he let me sit in on a few sessions, and it's so fun. But yeah, it is kind of, you know, per sheet music, kind of pop music, but it sounds cool in context.
Yeah. So that what you are saying is more about the background score, mm-hmm. which is more of a cinematic space. But the Bollywood films also have like proper songs, which are like proper pop songs. So that's a little different than the whole cinematic approach and doing a background score. So this has more of like, you know, how do I say, like more Indian percussion, you know, people are dancing to it and grooving to it. And there is, if you know, dholes and tabla and dholaks and stuff. So there you got to just, you know, gel with them with that specific swing that I was talking about. And that's why it's important for us to understand that swing, because, mm-hmm. You know, every music has a specific swing. Like, if you go to Africa, they have a specific swing, where when you go to Latin America, that music has a specific... In same way, Indian music also has a specific swing. And for a drummer to understand that is extremely important out here.
Can you quantify it in... I mean, does it sit somewhere between what in the Western society we go like there's straight and swung? Is it in between there, or is it a whole different thing that don't even try and compare it to that?
No, I think it's pretty much, it's like, you know, if you say like a 6-8 or a 2-4 kind of a groove, but it's slightly swung, you know. Mm-hmm. So because there are a lot of small nuances that you work around in the tabla. If you hear instrument the tabla. So you just got to get that swing right with them, you know. And once you get that sorted, then it's kind of it sounds great outside as a unit, as a rhythmic unit. So it's pretty much same, but it's just you need to know how they kind of swing it. That's it.
Yeah, you have to live it. You have to breathe it.
Yes.
And you were talking about how long you've been playing and stuff. Can you describe a little bit of the Limca Book of Records? And are you, to a second follow-up question to that, are you sick of talking about, yes, I was the youngest drummer, I get it, we can move on?
Yes, I'm kind of done with
it. I didn't want to bring it up, but I'm curious how that record works.
So basically, my first proper gig was at the age of two, you know, and from there on, I was part of this band called the Little Wonders, which was specifically a band by kids between the age of 6 to 15, where we did a three-hour concert and we performed pretty much all around the world as a kid band. And I ended up doing about 500 concerts with them by the age of 15. So all this information and all the stuff that I was doing as a kid, my father one day, one of his friends said that, why don't you push this to the Indian, like how you guys have the Guinness Book of Records?
We have
the Limca Books of Records, which is mainly for Indians out here. One of his friends said that, you know, he's done so much stuff and he's been, you know, working for over close to 10 years already. Why don't you put all his stuff and give it to Limca Books and see if they are okay to announce it as the youngest drummer, because he started at the age of two. So my father has all these photographs and videos, you know, from the age of two till the age of 15, you know. So in 97, he kind of submitted this, and, you know, within a month, they announced that, you know, he's the youngest drummer of India. So that's what that's about it. But but it was pretty cool, you know, especially in the school, you know, everybody was like, oh, wow, this guy's in the Limca Books and stuff like that. But yeah, for me, I kind of moved on pretty quickly. For me, it was, trying to focus more on drums and, you know, really taking that forward. But yeah,
that's such a dad thing to do. You know, my dad would have done the same thing. All right. So, but that is awesome. I mean, that's incredible. Playing it too. I think I started when I was 10, so I'm not going to gloss over how that is cool in hindsight.
Forks Drum Closet, Nashville's full-line drum store. Celebrating its 40th year in business, Forks is independently owned and operated in the heart of Music City. Specializing in drums and percussion, Forks offers great discounts on all major brands and will beat any retailer's advertised price. From new and used equipment, vintage drums, and marching and orchestral instruments, Forks has something for every drummer. They offer professional rental, repair, and restoration services, as well as drum lessons. Stop by their storefront at 308 Chestnut Street, Nashville, Tennessee, zip code 37210. Or go online at ForksDrumCloset.com. All the information I just said is at ForksDrumCloset.com.
But let's just go into your top five.
Yes.
So number one is your favorite drummer and how their overall body of work has affected you.
Yes. So the first time I heard Dave was, I think around 16 or 17, and one of my mentors here in Mumbai, this amazing drummer, Ranjit Barot, who plays for John McLaughlin's Fourth Dimension now.
Okay.
So he was my first mentor, wherein he really changed the way I looked at drums. As I said, till then I was more into the Indian style of drumming, but when I joined him, the first day he gave me a pack of CDs, back then, and he's like, I want you to just hear these albums for the next 3 months and then we will start classes. Like, then we'll talk about about sticking or whatever rudiments and stuff that's after that. But I want you to just take these CDs and, just go through all these albums and I just want to see what you, understand from it. So that had, obviously, Dave Weckl Band, The Synergy, and, Hardwired, and Billy Cobham, Mahavishnu Orchestra, and, Tony Williams and Buddy Rich and all kinds of stuff was there. So somehow just straight away Dave really connected, like that whole sound was just completely blew me off. Like, the drums were just perfectly tuned, and like, all the hits, the fills and just the flow that he plays, it just feels like it's so smooth. You just don't feel that break ever. It's like, everything is just perfectly played. Even if a splash is played, it's just placed at the right time. You know, the symbols that he will use, you know, and the kinds of symbols that he'll use in that, and then just the ghost notes and the touch really, like, you know, really kind of connected with me. And then from there on, I pretty much heard each and every Dave Weckl album. And as I said, when I met him here in Mumbai as well, when he was here with his band, you know, I got to meet with him, I got to hang with him. And then obviously he's just an amazing person to, you know, connect. And there's so much to learn every day. Even recently he came out with an album called Stories with Tom Kennedy. And if you hear that mix, it's like, how can you do that? How can you play something like this? It's incredible. So yeah, he's been one of my biggest heroes. For me, as a band, it was really super tight. I loved the drum sound. But then it took me some time to start kind of, I have a habit of breaking down tracks, you know. If I like a particular track, I just don't keep listening to it. I like to break it down so that I kind of know, okay, this is a specific fill that he played here, or this is the groove, this is the dynamics that he has between his cymbal and, you know, and his snare drum and kick drum and stuff like that. So I kind of break down these tracks, and that's when I started to understand, man, that this guy is just amazing. He's just a master. And I'm sure over the years, you keep just hearing all these albums, and it's just keeps getting better and better and better. It's just amazing how he works, and it's just effortless. That's the best thing that I love about Dave, is that it feels like it's just so easy.
I know.
But it's not, but he just makes it look so easy and so effortless that you feel like, oh, you know, maybe you can try and do it. But when you try to do it, it's obviously difficult. But it's just about the amount of hours of practice and the kind of experience that he has over the years that he just makes it look so easy.
Absolutely. All right. So number two, and we will get back to Dave in a second, but I did want to continue to go in the order you sent him to me. So a specific groove that completely changed the way you feel about drums or think about drums. And again, you did mention him, and maybe this was one of the records you were given, but it's Billy Cobham.
Yes. So again, you know, Billy's drum sound, you know, when I heard Spectrum, was incredible. Like, you know, right on your face, you know, those open, the kick drum, double bass drums, and, you know, the toms, the big toms, and specifically his snare sound was like super, super tight and crisp, and all those ghost notes you could hear so well. There was just something very, you know, as I was showing you that groove that I really love in 7, it's one of my finest, favorite grooves that I love about him. And then again, he came to India back in, I think, about 2007 or 2008, and I got to hang with him. And so I like to tell you this, like, I've been very lucky with hanging out with drummers here in India, because if you know Ustad Zakir Hussain.
Unfortunately, I don't.
So he's one of the greatest tabla players that the planet has ever seen.
Okay.
And he's there in San Francisco, and he's played with Mickey Hart and Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock and everyone out there. So he's one of the greatest tabla players ever. And so he used to do these concerts out here for his father's Barsi, which is his death anniversary, that he used to do these concerts on every 3rd of February. And he used to invite one of these drummers from America or London, or, you know. So all these guys had come, you know, to visit and pay, you know, like a tribute to his father. And they used to perform on that day. And I used to be, I used to handle all these drummers when they used to come to India. So Zakir Hussain used to tell me that, okay, these guys are going to be here, and you just make sure that they are comfortable and, you know, they get everything that they want. So thanks to him, I got to hang with, like, Steve Smith, Antonio Sanchez, Billy Cobham, Terry Bozzio, Simon Phillips, you know, Eric Harland. So that's why I was kind of blessed, you know. By the age of 20, I got to start meeting these drummers. Every year, there was one drummer who used to come to India, and I got to hang with them for a couple of days. So Billy Cobham, again, it was one of my dreams come true, where I got to hang with him for a couple of days. And we spoke about all his albums and all the kind of stuff that he's, you know, he's been doing. And he's such a big, big inspiration, because, again, he was one of the drummers who also understood that whole fusion thing. I think he was one of the earlier drummers who started collaborating with, you know, John McLaughlin, and, you know, just that the fire that was there, you know, in that in the way he played was just amazing, you know, and all his fills and as I said, the snare drum work was incredible.
Yeah. Well, let's just play a little bit of that. This is Spectrum by Billy Cobham. That album has such a distinct cymbal sound, too. Whenever I hear it, it's like, oh, it's that album.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a question, and I was surprised when I asked Adam Deitch from Lettuce. He didn't really understand what I was saying, and it's something that I definitely grapple with. Do you ever, referring back to all these times you've met these heroes, because basically in the last 4 or 5 minutes, you've mentioned all the great drummers that are still alive today that you've gotten to meet. Do you ever deal with imposter syndrome? Like, how do you navigate being able to just hang with them as a peer after you've looked up to them so long?
It's kind of obviously, it's very overwhelming because, you know, as I said earlier, you know, I've always seen these guys on either the Modern Drummer magazine or, you know, either I've bought DVDs and, you know, and obviously YouTube came in later. So, yeah, it's a little overwhelming, but it's also, I feel, for me as a drummer here in India, because we, as I said, we were not exposed to these people out here that often. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is like a very, very big opportunity where I'm able to hang with some of the finest drummers that have, you know, been here on this planet. And then obviously, I also don't want to like just put all the questions at one time. But I just try to do it in a little smart way wherein I also give them that space. And, you know, I know that, you know, they have so many fans and so many people always asking them hundreds of things. But I just try to make them comfortable first. And then, you know, whenever I feel that, okay, now is a good time, maybe then I'll just, you know, shoot down that question. But otherwise, it is a little overwhelming. But I also don't want to lose the opportunity because, you know, he's sitting in my car next to me. And so, yeah, you just need to give them that space. But also, you know, I wanted to ask them those questions. So you just need to find the right time and the right way to do it.
And as your career progresses, I'm sure many of them have heard of you prior to even meeting you. So I guess it gets easier if they're like, oh, no, Darshan, yeah, you're an amazing drummer. Let's hang. You know, it's not like you have to prove yourself in conversation first, I would assume.
Yeah, that happened with Aaron Spears recently because, you know, he came for the Zildjian Day clinic here in Mumbai just before the pandemic again in 2019. And so it was such a big, big fan of Aaron. And, you know, you've seen all those videos and now, you know, he's, you know, we are on the same stage. I'm opening for him. And so it's a great, you know, it's a great experience. And especially I've always seen that these drummers are so sweet, man. Like I just, for especially Aaron, you know, he's such a sweet guy and, you know, he shared his number. And, you know, today till now we are in touch with, you know, I keep, you know, messaging him, you know, every time I see him with Ariana or, you know, I go to see them live in Toronto. So, yeah, it's really cool to, like, you know, finally be able to, you know, kind of really connect with these drummers. And anytime that you have any queries, you know, they are more than happy and very sweet to kind of, you know, share that with you.
Number three, your favorite fill, choice, moment from a certain record. And you chose one of my favorites. I love his first name, Benny Greb. And the song is Grebfruit. And you said it's basically the solo post 3:30. So let me just go ahead and play a little bit of that. And then we can talk about it afterwards. Because I don't actually know if I've heard this specific solo from Benny. Do 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 do
This is not fair. This is like, you can't do this. You can't play like this. Like, yeah, it's there's something about this guy, man, and he's such an amazing guy, such a funny guy again. I think these fills that he does, especially with like a starting off with a double like a double kick, and then he does those flams and like really laid back flams, and he also has this whole habit of slightly pulling those fills. You know, maybe if you play right on time, it might not sound that good, but he just has that habit of really really pulling it back, and especially his flow tom, man. I don't know, it's every time I hear him play that flow tom, it's crazy. And I've heard him live during the Drum Fantasy Camp in Chicago, and man, that flow tom really sounds amazing. He just has something very, some kind of a special tuning for that.
Yeah, you can hear him smiling too. Can you hear? It's just, he always, I've never been in a bad mood, listened to Benny, and then remained in that same state.
Yes, he just has a very, very positive energy about him as a person, and that will surely reflect on your music as well. And he's one of the people that he really, really enjoys playing, and everything that he does is like, it's so accurate, and like the timing and the clarity, the speed, everything is there. And the fun is that every time you see him soloing as well, it's not, I feel it's everything is just coming on during that time. Nothing is planned as such, but he's just going on that moment and trying to have fun with his instrument, and that's what you can see, and yeah.
Well, it was also cool. Kind of said something about him as a person, and the same thing was with Paul McCartney when I saw him live. But I'm referencing Benny. It was the 2020 Drumeo camp, and maybe you've seen the video where he basically, I'll just say it. He like messes up two times at the beginning of the song, and he stops it. He stops his band, and he like points at himself. He's like, "I messed up. Just so you guys know, that was me." And then he starts like another time, messes up, and then he's laughing, but there could be someone who, to get to the level that Benny's at, you have to have that level of discipline. Some other drummers might be like in such a bad mood after that, but he's just laughing. And the same thing happened with Paul McCartney when I saw him live. He was playing the song Something, and it was like out of tune or something. And this, I saw him at, they call it Old Cella, but it was Desert Trip. There's like 60,000 people there. And he like stops and he's like, "This guitar sounds like crap, huh? Let's get another guitar." And he just starts it over again. And for a performer that, again, to get to that level, you have to be kind of neurotic in a way, but to still not take yourself seriously. It just made me fall in love with Benny so much more, because we could all use a little bit of that.
Absolutely. That's what it is. Like, I think that's what proves that, everybody makes mistakes, but it's just that how you turn that into and make it like really fun, that's what it is. I think even on gigs sometimes, when we do mistakes, it's about what you play after that is what it is exactly. So I think, and that's what Benny is all about, man. He's just an amazing guy, and that's what you can see in his music.
That's great. All right, number four, a performance which you either played or witnessed, and in this case you witnessed it, that altered your musical course. And you said Dennis Chambers live at Zildjian Day, Bombay, 1996. Which was that, a YouTube video, or did you actually go there that day?
No, so I was lucky enough to just get the ticket at the last minute, because one of my uncles, he was kind of part of the organizing committee there, and I was about, I think, maybe 12 or 13 years old, and it was just, I've never seen drums played like that, and I was like, man, what is this? Like, the speed was insane. And I still remember that one fill that he played with. Just, he just took his left hand, kept it right at the back, and he just took right hand and like,
yep, that's yep, how Dennis of him.
And man, I was like, what is this? And yeah, so that's one gig which, as I said, completely changed my approach to drumming, especially hearing him play double bass back then. Seeing him do those sweeps between the snare and the floor tom, all the fills that he played, the groove, it was just amazing. And that's from there, like, I became a very, very big Dennis Chambers fan and started hearing to all his music. And I think there was one of his albums that I remember that really made me like even a massive bigger fan was, I think, Nassin, if you have heard of it, Billy Sheehan on the bass. It's like a trio with Dennis.
Okay.
And you should surely check that out. The band is called Nassin. Obviously, they're not doing much anymore. But there's one of the club concerts, which is kind of there on YouTube. And there was a DVD of that as well. So that was like just insane. Like it was crazy to see like a trio playing with so much power and so much such amazing, incredible music. So that is one of my finest albums that I like about Dennis. And yeah, he's been again a big like a follow that I kind of really follow him for a while now.
Have you ever gotten a chance to meet him? Has he come to India and done clinics and stuff that you've been able to interact with him personally?
Not much. Actually, I got to briefly meet him once in Washington at a club where he came to see Dave Weckl play. And I was there, obviously, to see Weckl. And then I realized that, okay, there's Mr. Chambers standing right next to me having a beer.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, okay, that's crazy. You have Weckl here and you have a Dennis Chambers. It's like, wow. And but yeah, I was, as I said, I was fortunate to see him live for the Zildjian live event, which happened just before NAMM in January 2020. And being a Zildjian endorsee, I was very thankful for Zildjian to invite me there, and for me to be a part of that, just be in the crowd with some amazing drummers, from Ronald Bruner Jr. to Tony Royster to Kaz Rodriguez. All these cats, they were not performing, but they were still all there sitting around us. So it was an experience, again, which I think I'll really cherish for the rest of my life, because to see about 10 drummers playing in one day with a band like Ghost Note, you just get two takes to play, and it's just amazing to see so many different styles, from an Ash Sohn to Matt Greiner to Sarah to Dennis Chambers, Gergo Borlai. And it's amazing. So yeah, it's one of those days that I really will cherish for the rest of my life.
Yeah, Sarah told a story of how she kind of didn't want to prepare because she likes to do a little more improv, or else she has these ideas that she feels she forces on it if she spends too much time thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was also good to see Dennis back, because I know he was bounced back health-wise. So it was good to see him, that it didn't sound like he skipped a step. He was just as good as he always was.
Absolutely, like bang on, like two takes and that's about it. And there was a very special moment, wherein after the thing was over, he pointed out at Gergo Borlai and he's like, this guy, yeah, you just come here. And he called him and he blessed him, and he was very, very very, very kind of, like a special blessing that he got from Dennis, and that was a very, very really nice moment which happened.
Wow. Yeah, it's like when Johnny Carson would call the comedian over to sit next to him. It was like, oh, that's a big deal.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so number five, the sound of a particular record that helped mold your tuning style. And you said Dave Weckl, and the album is Synergy.
Yes. So as I said earlier, there was just something special about his tuning and the way, everything just sounds so perfectly right in the mix. And then obviously later on, as I said, I got to hang with him in 2015, and I asked him all these questions, and then I got to know, he gave us a chart, basically like a tuning chart, where he kind of goes through basically there is a difference of a minor third between the top head and the bottom head. So that's what he does for the toms. And then obviously got to know more about his signature snare drums, where there are two locks, there are two springs in that, and there's a little muffler which is kind of like the old school where it's below the head, where you can adjust that and stuff like that. So a lot of things I got to know later, in 2015 when I got to meet him. And yeah, that's as I said, till now his albums completely blows me off. And just specifically the drum sound, there is something really, really special about it. And later on, I came to know that he mixes his own drum sounds by himself most of the time.
Of course.
So so that's when I, started also kind of, spending some time working on my sound. I have my own studio, The Click, here in Mumbai. You know, I started putting different kind of heads and, you know, trying to just see what works according to that specific room. And obviously, I tried to follow his chart. And but, yeah, it's something, as I said, you know, I keep tuning is something that you have to keep doing it again and again. It's something that you... You can't just learn by just a chart or something. Sometimes it might work according to the chart, sometimes it doesn't. So it's more for me, it's more about your tuning. Like, you know, I'm used to a specific way that I want my toms and stuff to sound. So it's just something that you have to keep doing it more and more. And the more you do, the more better you get every day on that. So, yeah. So, but yeah, Weckl has been, again, a big, big influence when it comes to my drum sound.
Is there a specific song off Synergy that I should play?
Anything from that album is banger.
What's the most fun title? How about Wet Skin? That sounds fun. I don't know why that sounds fun. But yeah, let's just go Wet Skin off Synergy by the Dave Weckl Band. Oh yeah,
that snare, man. It's
just enough perfect snap, but it gets out of the way.
Exactly.
I mean, those drum takes are perfect. Damn it.
Yeah, I just love his snare tuning, man. It's just perfect. As you said, it's got the right amount of ring, which is there, but it's also the spring is there and that fatness is there. You know, the attack is there. So it's just one of the best sounding snare to me. Like, it just fits in so well with the music that he does.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to have taken this journey down what makes Darshan Darshan, because it is you're an incredible drummer. Every time I watch your videos, it blows me away, man. And I'm so happy to have you part of the Big Fat family, and it's hope to see you again soon. But is there anything you'd like to, that you're working on right now, that you'd want to promote? This is your opportunity. I'd love to, you know.
Yes. So obviously, I've been, you know, as I said, you know, firstly, a big thank you to Big Fat Snare Drum. You know, I've been using all your products. I keep, you know, tagging you guys. Sorry for all the amount of tags I do, but
I
just love, you know, I just love everything that you guys make, and you know, I keep using them. Even today, as I said, I had a session and I used the original Big Fat on my snare drum, and the producer was like, "Ooh, that snare drum sounds great." I said, "Yes, that's the Big Fat snare drum which does the trick." But so, you know, again, you know, best wishes to you guys with kind of the stuff that you keep coming every year. Yes, I hope to see you guys. I think they've announced on June or something, which, you know, there might be the NAMM happening this year. Yeah, so I might drop in. I also have a tour coming in August, which is going to be in America, which is going to be like a 9-city tour with a Bollywood band. So, yeah, hopefully if, you know, you're around, you know, I would love to invite you for a Bollywood gig for you to experience, you know, the Indian music.
I'm assuming you'll come to Los Angeles.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, dude, I'm there. If I'm in town, I'm there. 100%.
Yes. So, yeah, that's going to be in 2022 August. But I'm very excited about my trio. Actually, recently I did a 5-city tour here in India. Which is the Darshan Doshi Trio, which features Rhythm Shaw on guitars and Abhishek Day on bass. And we are putting out a live album from the 5-city. I'm going to pick the 7 really, you know, the good tracks that we've performed. And I'll be coming out with an album in December. So that's something that, you know, I would want all our listeners and everybody who's listening to us to kind of check it out. And obviously, you guys can follow me on the YouTube page, Darshan Doshi Official, and check out all the stuff that I've done, you know. With all these amazing musicians here in India and abroad. And yeah, just do follow me on Instagram at @DarshanDoshiOfficial, and once again, thank you, Ben, for having me. And it was a really, really a pleasure to be here and talk to you and discuss all these amazing drummers.
Dude, honor was all mine, man. I'm happy we got to catch up a little bit because it's been a while. So I know it's late where you are, so I appreciate you making time for this. It really means a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Cheers.
And that's the show. Be sure to subscribe. And if you're listening on a platform that allows for ratings or reviews, do that. It helps more people find the show, which means the show will get better and bigger, and hopefully I'll have a chance to sell out one day. But you'd be an OG listener that could brag to all your friends. Anyways, also, why don't you go ahead and check out BigFatSnareDrum.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and all the socials. Just search for @BigFatSnareDrum and you will find it. This show is edited in part using Isotope RX8 Audio Editor. It's amazing, so go check that out at Isotope.com. Bye!